We've just heard from a confident woman CEO, and later this hour we'll hear from a very excited woman Paralympic snowboarder at the top of her game. What was it that encouraged them to be leaders? What might have discouraged them?
Bossy is one of the many ways we discourage girls from leading. When a little boy leads, it's expected. We applaud him. But when girls lead, we call them bossy. We tell them not to. We tell them to put down their hands. And we do this in very explicit ways and very implicit ways. The research shows that by middle school, more boys than girls want to lead.
That's the very confident tech executive Sheryl Sandberg speaking on NPR's All Things Considered. Sheryl Sandberg thinks the word bossy may be part of the problem. You've probably heard of this Ban Bossy campaign. Beyonce, the Girl Scouts of America, Condoleezza Rice, and Jane Lynch have all joined the cause. But is banning a word the last word on developing woman leaders? Comedian, writer, and powerful entertainment executive Tina Fey explored this very complex territory of bossiness in her own life in the book Bossy Pants.
Ever since I became an executive producer of 30 Rock, people have asked me, is it hard for you being the boss? And is it uncomfortable for you to be the person in charge? You know, in that same way they say, gosh, Mr. Trump, is it awkward for you to be the boss of all these people? I can't answer for Mr. Trump, but in my case, it is not.
That's Tina Fey. What do you think? Patrick tells us some people are bossy. However, it is extremely overused to define women leaders. Yes, there are bossy women, just as there are bossy men. Most do not seem to be bossy. Or Patricia, who says this derogatory word bossy is typically referring to women rather than men by those in the workplace. I think it's used as or thought of as an acceptable way of calling a woman the other B word. These are both unacceptable and both B words should be banned from the workplace. Joining us now, Micheline Maynard, contributor to Forbes.com and the former Detroit bureau chief for The New York Times. Mickey, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Also with me is Sarah Burningham, author of Girl to Girl, Honest Talk About Growing Up and Your Changing Body. Sarah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sarah, let's begin. As well-meaning as all of this is, and I'm the father of three girls who I watch negotiating this question of when to assert and when to back down, it seems to me that to boil it down to the word bossy in the workplace, it just feels a little simplistic. What's your view?
I agree. I think targeting a word, a single word, is generally not a good idea. It adds power to that word. And I think making it forbidden for people almost means it's likely to be more used more frequently. And I think it's then has more meaning, so it's more likely to hurt when it's used. And although I don't personally love the word bossy, I don't think it's necessarily a bad word.
Mickey Maynard, certainly women have had trouble asserting themselves in the modern workplace, but I'm wondering if banning bossy in an adult workplace is going to filter down to kids in their teens today.
This is actually the first time I had thought of bossy as a word related to women. And in fact, since I wrote my story for Forbes.com, I've had a number of men reach out to me to say, we've been called bossy too. Why do you get to be called bossy? I mean, that's sort of a joke. But the point is that if you pick a word, then that word labels those people. So if we say, don't call girls bossy, what is a little boy going to do if he wants to tease a little girl? The first thing he's going to do is say, you're bossy. So we have a lot more to worry about as women in the workplace, as girls, than being called bossy. I've been called a lot worse, and you need the kind of skin to resist being called a lot worse.
One of our listeners, Aaron, offered this. Let's ban the word cute, which I believe is far more damaging to the psyche of young girls. If I have a daughter, I'd rather see her as being a little bossy than super cute, because the dependency on one trait is far better than a dependency on the other. I don't want to ban cute, and I don't want to ban bossy either, but I do want to encourage my girls to be leaders. Sarah Burningham, how best do we do that?
I support Sheryl Sandberg talking about these things because I feel like they start a conversation we might not be having otherwise, and that is a good thing. And I feel like we need to talk with the girls that we know about how to handle it when they're called names, especially when they're called names that assertive women are called, like bossy. But I really think we need to ask them questions from a very young age. And that's what I found when I was doing my research, is that girls have opinions. And if we ask them what their opinions are and we listen to their responses, they're going to be far more confident in how they feel about things because we are hearing them.
While we don't want to deliberately put roadblocks in the way of our leaders, men or young women, do people need to be tested in their community of friends if they're going to be leaders? And that's going to mean taking some negativity from time to time, Mickey?
First of all, I don't believe that bossy equals leader. I think leadership is a completely different category than bossy. Bossy is bossy. But leadership is, it can be leading a team. It can be collaborative. It can be simply getting everyone's thoughts and then you make the decision. That's decisiveness. That's not bossy. So my sense is that we do need to teach young people to lead, period. But the kind of leadership doesn't have to be the Vince Lombardi kind of leadership or the Jim Harbaugh kind of leadership. It can be a sitting down at the table sort of leadership, collaborative. And so that's where I think this goes off the rails a little bit. When we think of bossy equals leading, it does not. Let's focus on actual leading.
Forget Lombardi. Maybe it's the Tina Fey style of leadership that we're talking about here, Sarah.
I agree with that. And I do agree with the idea that bossy doesn't necessarily equal leadership. I think sometimes on the playground, kids will call other kids bossy who are leaders because they don't have the ability to distinguish that yet. I have been called bossy, and I remember being called bossy as a kid and never really being offended by it. It was not something that hurt me. And maybe I'm the exception to the rule, but I do think that girls are going to be called a lot of things in their lives, by friends, by peers, by bullies, by teachers, by other adults. And as parents and people who care about them, we can't protect them from that, but we can teach them how to react to it. So if they're called bossy, we can talk to them about what was happening and encourage them to use the skills that are indeed leadership skills.
Sarah Birmingham, author of Girl to Girl, Honest Talk About Growing Up and Your Changing Body. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to Mickey Maynard, contributor to Forbes.com and former Detroit bureau chief for the New York Times. Thanks, Mickey.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
You can take our survey at thetakeaway.org on this question of the word bossy. David in Florida says the type of woman that is hindered by being called bossy probably isn't the type of woman that will be in a position to be called that. Lastly, talking of banning words like this is insulting to the group you're trying to protect. You're saying women are too sensitive and weak to overcome being called mean names. Then there's Johnny Sue Thayer from Michigan. They're not trying to legislate. They're trying to educate. Take the campaign in the vein it is meant. They don't mean literally. They mean stop using it against girls. Boys are leaders. Girls are bossy. Boys are bosses. Girls are bossy. It's not just tripe. It's true. It's all about mutual respect. Our number is 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can follow us at Twitter, at The Takeaway. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.